Let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52, there's one verse, verse 7, that we want to look at tonight. And we're going to compare that with a place in the New Testament where it is quoted. So you might as well turn to Romans chapter 10 at the same time. And you can, we'll be back in Romans chapter 10. We're going to simply look at the verse there. When we come to the end of the message, we'll come back to Romans chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 52, Romans chapter 10. The verse is first written in Isaiah chapter 52, and then it's quoted in Romans chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 52, look at verse 7. The Bible says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth, thy God reigneth." Now notice what he says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings." All right, when you go to the New Testament in Romans chapter 10, you find this verse quoted in verse 15. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. And in this passage he says, "How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." That isn't quoted exactly, but it's the Holy Spirit's prerogative to how he wants to quote it. He wrote it. And this is how he's chosen to quote this in the New Testament. "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Notice here then the feet, the beauty of the feet, have to do with the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. What we'd like to talk about tonight is beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to help us through the study tonight. Brother Rick, if you'll pray for us, please. Amen. Amen. Now, when you look at these two passages together, God speaks to us of preaching the Word of God. And he doesn't, when he does that, he doesn't emphasize the beauty of the person's face. He doesn't say how beautiful is the face. He doesn't say how beautiful is the dress of the person that preaches. He doesn't say how beautiful is are his words, or how beautiful is the mouth. They talked about Spurgeon, I think, as the golden orator, the golden preacher. Doesn't compliment those things. Doesn't say how great the personality is of the preacher. He compliments his feet. Isn't that strange? He says, the part I want you to notice about that guy, look at his feet. He says, I think his feet are beautiful. And you have to ask yourself the question, why would he point out his feet? Why would he emphasize and mention his feet? Well, when you think about the whole armor of God, he says our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so the feet have a tremendous amount to do with the preaching of the Word of God. They are in the whole armor. They are in these two passages of Scripture here. Why? Why? Because in order for you to have the opportunity to open your mouth to present your great personality, to display the joy that God has given you in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to go. Your feet have to take you wherever a sinner is. Has anybody ever had a sinner, a stranger, just knock on your door and say, I need you to tell me how to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior? You may have. I mean, the Holy Spirit may certainly have worked that way. But that'd be a very rare instance, and certainly an exception to the rule. Generally speaking, you have to go and do the knocking. We are the ones that must tell somebody else. And so in this case, in Isaiah chapter 52, his going by feet will even take him into the mountains. When he compliments the beauty in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, he says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet." So it's like he's worked out all this area near where he lives. He's worked out in the valley. I mean, if you've traveled some and just kind of looked at areas, generally speaking, people live down in the valleys. That's where they congregate. That's where the fertile soil is. That's where the water is. That's where the ease of access is. Occasionally you'll find a person here and a person there living up on the high mountain vistas. Obviously there's a tremendous amount of beauty, but the fertile soil is down in the valley. He says, this guy's already worked all that area. By implication, he's even found himself up on the mountains. They're working with those few people that are up there as well. Those are remote areas. They're hard to get to. Require some effort to find people there. So notice in Isaiah chapter 52, three very simple things for ourselves tonight. A method of encouragement to us tonight about these matters. With beautiful feet, we, first of all, in Isaiah 52, 7, bring good tidings. With beautiful feet, we bring good tidings. And that is, the gospel is good news. When the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds who were keeping their flocks, on the night the Lord Jesus Christ was born, he said to the shepherds, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That was the announcement at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know something, in the work that we've been doing with Fishers of Men, and the work that Randy and others that go with him have been doing in the port ministry, in your casual conversations with people, you still come across people who don't know the good tidings of Jesus Christ. In other words, they may know some things about the Lord Jesus Christ, but they view salvation as a straitjacket of religion. Haven't you seen that? Maybe they view salvation, they view Jesus Christ as an opponent of evolution, and evolution as opponent of Jesus Christ, and they want to argue these matters. But the truth of the matter is, his coming brought good tidings. And his desire to save brings good tidings. What we have to preach is not bad news. I realize that sometimes you have to give somebody a little bit of bad news to let them understand their reasoning for coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. When I was talking to Nathan in my office after preaching on Sunday morning I was there with his mother. I said, you know, he had heard a lot about salvation from coming to church, and there was something of the work of the Spirit of God in his heart that he wanted to know more about it and wanted to get saved. He just wasn't sure about some matters. So I explained to him about sin, and then I said this, and I said, Nathan, sinners without Christ go to hell when they die. And he's sitting there listening to me like this, and he goes, okay, I get it. That's not good news, okay? But the good news is that you don't have to go there because of what Jesus Christ has done. And so we can dwell on that. There is certainly good news. Jesus loves sinners enough to take our place at Calvary, to die for us, to be accused of our sins, to be buried, to rise, to spend some time in hell. He loves sinners enough, according to Hebrews chapter 7, to intercede for them. Did you know that? When you go to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, did you know that Jesus Christ is interceding on behalf of them that they might be saved? Some are going like this, and some are going, I hope he doesn't call on me to pick the verse. Just look briefly so you can see it for yourself at Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse 25. The Bible is such a great preacher. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, is all in the context here. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. The Bible says, wherefore, he, that's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's praying for your neighbors. He's praying for your coworkers. Praying for those folks that you know that aren't saved. And so when your beautiful feet carry you to the presence of another person where the Lord Jesus Christ, who is praying for them, can hear you speaking good tidings, things of what Jesus has done for them. Let me tell you something, that's very powerful. That's very effectual. You say, they don't always get saved when they hear that. No, but after they've had some time to consider those good tidings, and after a period of time, I'll tell you what, there are an awful lot of people that do respond positively to the gospel and do get saved. Listen, Jesus Christ, do you understand, loves us enough to entrust you and me with the opportunity to tell somebody else that great news of what he's done for them? Do you realize that, like in the military, whenever there was an opportunity for a commanding officer of a particular unit, maybe a platoon or a company, or whatever it may be, to send a message to another commander who had his force in another location to explain a need, he's going to send somebody he trusts with that message. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. He's not going to send somebody that's going to get sidetracked or that's going to miss the opportunity to deliver the news. Do you realize that he has entrusted us with this great opportunity to tell somebody else good news? Do you watch the television and listen to the radio? There's very little good news. That's why I discourage you from taking too much time in front of the television, too much time researching the internet for news and so forth, because it's just bad news and it's very discouraging and you hear an awful lot of it. You know what they need? They need some good news. They need good tidings. And I'm going to tell you honestly, we have the very best news there possibly is. Listen, what was Ed McMahon? Was that the name of that guy that did all the sweepstakes? If you knocked on somebody's door and said, boy, Ed McMahon here, $25,000, they'd be like, woo! That may not be good news for them. A lot of people that have had easy money like that have blown it and blown their relationships with each other. That's not lasting good news. What we have is truly good news. It is really, as far as I know, the very best news that anybody has ever heard. It is the greatest news of good news this world has ever known. And they need it. And to think that you and I are entrusted, given the privilege to be the bearers of that good news. Jesus said, no, I'm going to go and I'm going to sit at the right hand of God my Father. I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to let you have the joy and privilege of watching them get saved. Do you understand that he gives us that joy and then he gives us reward for doing it? Amazing. Paul said to the Thessalonians, what is our joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord at his coming? Ye are our joy and crown of rejoicing. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 sinners that need not repentance. Imagine such a thing, to be given the honor of carrying that great news. It's like you and I were approached by the governor and say, you know, there's a guy on death row, and I, before I resign from office or retire from office, am going to pardon him, and I'd like you to be the one to carry him the news. Well, that'd be a great privilege because you see how he's going to light up. You mean I'm not going to die? No, the governor said, you are pardoned, and he gave me the opportunity to do it. That's quite a privilege. And that's what we have. And he says, with beautiful feet, we bring good tidings. We bring good tidings. You know, people, we talk about doors slamming in your face. We talk about people turning you off and people saying bad things and giving you reproach whenever you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not always the case. And listen, when people get saved and their lives change, who do you think they're going to remember next to Jesus Christ? They're going to remember the person that told them. The person, there's going to be a long, long appreciation for the news bearer. With beautiful feet, we bring, listen, good tidings. Good tidings. I mean, honestly, sometimes when we talk to people about these matters, we kind of come with the expression of an undertaker. Oh, boy. I just wanted you to know you can be saved. That's like, your cat died. That's worse. What was that story that guy told? He says he had a favorite cat and he gave it to his brother. And he said, you keep my cat while I'm gone. Take good care of it because I love this cat. So he goes and he calls him the next day. He said, "How's my cat doing?" He said, "Your cat's not doing well at all. Your cat died." He's like, "Oh man, you crushed me." He couldn't even speak. He hung up the phone and called him back the next day. He said, "Man, you are so cruel." He said, "Why?" He said, "You know how much I love that cat, and you told me the cat just died. You should have told me something like, the cat's on the roof and I've called the fire department. They're going to try to get the cat down. At least then I am kind of breaking into bad news. And then next day, tell me it didn't work out. And then, I won't feel so bad." He said, "Okay, I'm sorry. I should have been more considerate." He said, by the way, "How's mom?" "Well, she's on the roof." So, our news is better than that. Do you understand? Sure, sin is real. Sure, hell is real. Sure, there is a real devil. But I'm going to tell you something. We have good news, and they need good news. They really do. Let me tell you something else. With beautiful feet, we publish peace. Look again in Isaiah 52:7, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace." We publish peace. You know, the world is longing for peace. Blake quoted that verse about the peace of God that passeth all understanding, keeping your hearts and minds. I don't know, but more and more people are getting on some sort of behavior-altering drug. They're on some sort of thing because they're hyperactive. They're on some sort of thing because they're depressed. They're on some sort of thing because they can't sleep at night. You know what the problem is? Among other things, is a lack of peace. We have peace. And that peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the opportunity to publish that peace. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ. Oh, you know, when I graduated from high school, I graduated from school in Tennessee, and Senator Howard Baker, who was the chief of staff for Ronald Reagan, had graduated from there. He's died recently. And they said he was a tremendous ambassador of the United States. May I tell you something? We are ambassadors for heaven. A far greater country, in that heaven lasts forever. And God has said, "You know what? I want you to be my ambassador." You didn't have to go through any kind of political science. You didn't have to go through any kind of politics. You didn't have to give a great sum of money for that opportunity in order to be recognized by somebody that's high in government. You were given that commission by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he said, "I want you to be my ambassador." And you know what I want you to be an ambassador for? Peace. He says, "We beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." We have the opportunity to be the agent by which the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the power of the Word of God, brings a sinner who is an enemy of God in reconciliation with God Almighty, where those two are at peace for the rest of eternity. What a privilege. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have peace tonight? I do. Some of us have recollection about a time in our lives past where things weren't so good as they are today. And yet we don't have to worry about those things because they're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ doesn't hold us accountable for that anymore. God put that on Jesus Christ and allowed us to be reconciled in perfect peace with God. What a tremendous thing. You know what? If somebody says to me, "I want you to go tell somebody something really, really, really great." You can hardly keep it a secret. Some people can't keep it a secret. They're so anxious to tell. "We're going to have a surprise party for somebody, but don't tell them." And the person's like, "Did you know we're going to have a..." Sam Boatman came up to me one time. Y'all were pulling something for me, and I appreciate it. He came up to me and he goes, "I'm going to be at your party today." He couldn't hold it anymore. just held it as long as he could. And that's what we have. We have the opportunity to publish peace, and we just need to get to the place where we can't hold it anymore. And just tell him, "Hey man, God's got something for you. He wants to be at peace with you and you to be at peace with him. And then finally it says here in Isaiah 52:7, he says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. You know, people need to know the goodness of God. God gets a bad rap all the time. And they need to know the peace of God. That it's not some politically arranged thing in the Middle East. It's a heartfelt thing that comes by the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God when we get saved. And they also need to know the salvation of God. Did you know that 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says about Jesus Christ that he will have all men to be saved? Did you know that? This is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. That's his will. People say, I sure wish I knew the will of God, I'd be doing it. Okay, now you know what it is. Right? There it is. Who will have all men to be saved? All he needs is feet. That's all he needs is feet. It just go somewhere, somebody that you know, and like Sam Boatman, I can't keep it in any longer. Jesus loves you and wants to save you. And we get to publish salvation. Now, it's really, really not a difficult thing. They've had all kinds of, we've even done them here. We've tried to do lessons to help you understand what and how to tell somebody how to be saved. May I tell you something? Salvation is not a program. It's not a program. You have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're saved. You are personally acquainted with the Savior. The Savior. The only one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know him personally. And I really doubt that there is a bad way to tell somebody else they can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Said, I just wouldn't know enough to tell him. You do. You know him. You know him. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, which is where we were when we saw the companion verse of Isaiah chapter 52, he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And he says in verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me ask you something. When Peter stepped out of that boat and started walking on the water and began to sink, how sophisticated was his prayer? It wasn't very sophisticated. You know what he said? Lord, save me. Did he get it? He did. You know, the Lord knows the condition of the heart of the people that we know. A whole lot more than we know anything about all that. It's just a matter of talking to them. I remember years ago talking to Tommy Wright. I've told you about him before, so I'm not going to belabor the story. I talked to him, and we witnessed about different things and talked around different things. And one day he came to see me in Beeville early in the morning, about 8 o'clock in the morning. I was already up at the church, and he came to see me. And he just sat down. You know, there we were in the storefront, and the pulpit was here, and the first row was about right here. So he came in and sat down because we didn't have an office, sat down on the front row next to me, and he's just looking up there at the pulpit. And finally he says, it's Jesus, isn't it? I said, well, yeah. I said, about what? He said, if I'm ever going to get to heaven to see God, I'm going to have to go through Jesus, aren't I? I said, yep, that's it. I said, that's right. He said, well, that's what I came to know. And he got up and walked out. He's looking at me like, you didn't close the deal? It's not up to me to close the deal. It's up to Jesus Christ and him to get that sorted out. Later on, when he testified to his children that he'd gotten saved before his death, I asked one of them, I said, what did he say? And this is what he said. This is how he told his children that he'd gotten saved. He said, children, you know your dad was a no good sorry SB. But Jesus Christ has made it all right between me and God. How do you improve on that? Listen, it is Jesus. And it is salvation. And the thing is, We just need some preachers sent by the Lord. Now you say, well, we know you are. Look at you up there preaching. But you know something? I know you are too. To the people in your little area, everybody here knows somebody that's lost. Right? Who could use some good news? Who could use some peace with God? Who could use salvation? We all do. Jesus Christ told his disciples after his resurrection, he said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And we have a song in the hymn book just like that. So send I you. Can you imagine God has sent you to somebody that you know to give him some good news and some peace and some salvation? And that however you approach them with that, the Holy Spirit can use you. What he needs is your feet. He'll take control of your mouth. To say some things to them about the Lord Jesus Christ that will help them come to that place where they can find the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves. Let me ask you something tonight. When you get home, I don't want you to do it now. You may have been wearing your shoes all day. Some people who wear their shoes all day, if you take them off right now, would be like, oof. Wish you hadn't done that. Tonight, when you get home, take a look at your feet. Seriously, think about what I'm saying. Tonight, when you get home and you take your shoes off before you go to bed, look down at your feet and look and see if they're beautiful. And if they're not, then get them shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. Amen. Father, we're thankful tonight for an opportunity to preach the words of God. Father, I'm encouraged by this. And I know our folks are too. We're all encouraged by this, folks. But Father, and we're thankful. We ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. Really, seriously, take a look tonight. Father, we don't need to be guilt-tripped into this. We don't need to be browbeat into this. We don't need to be programmed into this. We just need to get up and realize when our feet hit the ground, there's a commission on those feet. And you look at them and realize how beautiful they are when they get going for you. And help us, Lord, to be good ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, publishing good tidings, publishing peace, and publishing salvation. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.